Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's wonderful to be together. Great to be able to open up God's word for another day and see what he has to say. We're going to be turning through to the letter to the Romans by the Apostle Paul and continuing our way through the first chapter. But before we read the passage, let's just come before him in a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless it to us today, that we might know you, that we might love you, that we might follow you. Lord, we long to be faithful children. We long to walk before you humbly. And so we pray that you would press your word into our hearts by the Spirit of God, that we might grow, that we might feed upon it today. Give us understanding. Give us insight into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 1, from verse 8 to 10. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. Well, I wonder, do you struggle with prayer? It's interesting, isn't it, that almost every single time you hear someone ask the question, specifically thinking of ministers of the gospel, when they get asked at the end of their life, what would you do differently if you were to start again? The number one thing that is heard by every single one of them is, I would pray more. I would stop trying to do it myself, and I would pray more. And so it is with all of us. If any of us were asked the question, how is your prayer life? Would any of us dare say, I am completely content with my prayer life. I think I have prayer down packed. Wouldn't every single one of us say, I wish I prayed more. I wish I knew how to pray better. I wish I had some idea of what it meant to pray. I know that's the story of my life, and I'm sure it's probably the story of your life too. But have you ever noticed what happens in your heart when you hear someone who truly prays? You know what I mean. You sit in a prayer meeting or you sit in a church service, and some dear old godly saint stands up and he begins to pray in the church service. And you hear him open his mouth and you hear him plead with the Lord with fervor and with passion. Or you sit in the prayer meeting and you hear the dear old godly woman who prays with her God with such sensitivity and such love and such zeal. Have you ever noticed that as that happens, it almost sets a fire in your heart for a desire to pray? It's as though you get sucked into the very prayer yourself and you find yourself longing to pray, desiring to pray, wishing you could pray. Well, that is the key. That is one of the great keys to growing in prayer. By listening and learning from others who pray. And so one of the things that I love to do is to read the prayers of men like John Calvin, to read the prayers as they're attached to the back of sermons by old Puritan ministers, and to see and hear and read how they plead with the Lord. I love listening to the prayers of the saints when we go to our prayer meeting. And so too, I love reading the prayers that we find in Scripture. It feeds our soul and fuels our soul to lift up our voices towards the Lord our God. And as it was with the disciples when they said to Jesus, teach us to pray. We can come to the prayers of the Scriptures and say, teach us to pray. And so we turn to the Apostle Paul today and we say, Paul, teach us to pray. And it's as though we get to sit and read the letter to the Romans and hear him praying as he writes, because we get to see the foundation of his prayer. We get to see the particular things he prays for, and we get to see the zeal and passion and fervor with which he prays. So notice the foundation of his prayers. Verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Do you notice the two persons of the Trinity there? I thank my God. Notice his prayers are directed toward God. He doesn't pray towards himself. He doesn't pray towards some arbitrary being, but he prays to a person. His prayers are intimate and personal. They're not just wishful thinking. You know, when we say to people things like, my prayers and thoughts are with you, what does that even mean? Isn't it so often that we say to people, I'll pray for you, but we don't actually do it? Isn't it so often that we say, I love praying to God, and yet more often than not, our prayers, they sound like ramblings of a confused person to a pie-in-the-sky idea? But not the Apostle Paul. He says he directs his prayers to God himself. He thanks his God. He doesn't just thank a God, he says, I thank my God. He has a personal relationship with the God of heaven. And so when he comes to him, it's me and my God, and I'm pleading with him, and I'm thanking him. But notice the access which enables him to do it. There was a time in Paul's life when he prayed to God with the Psalms. He prayed to God with the law in his hand. He prayed to God with the power of striving as a Pharisee. But no longer. Now he thanks his God through Jesus Christ. You see, the only way that our prayers can be accepted is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember the words of Hebrews, where the writer tells us that we have access to God through Christ. He says, now let us approach the throne of grace, God's throne, the throne of grace, because we have a great high priest. You see, the reason we have access to God, the reason we are able to pray to God, is because Christ, Jesus Christ himself, has won a glorious redemption. Because of his cross work, he has enabled us through purchasing us to the Father. He has made it so that we can bring our pleas to the Father. We must remember that when we come to pray, that we don't just pray to God, but we pray to our God and Father in heaven because Jesus Christ has won the victory. It's the victory and the righteousness of Christ that makes it so that we can bring our pleas before our Father in heaven. It is the access that has been achieved through the gospel that means we can pray and be heard and have our requests answered. But notice also the things he particularly prays for. So he prays to God through Christ, but what does he ask for? Well, he gives thanks for the faith of the Romans proclaimed in all the world. He gives thanks to God for what he's doing. It's as though he thinks about the Romans, which has been heard all through the world. Isn't that an incredible thing to say? Their faith has been heard everywhere. But he thinks of the Romans, and he doesn't say, good job, Romans. But he gives thanks to God for their faith. And so what he's saying is, I'm thanking God for what God is doing in you to create faith and cause faith to rise up. And so, firstly, we saw that there's this foundation laid for us. We pray to God through Christ, but then notice what we do. We give thanks. We give thanks for what God is doing. I tell you, if you struggle to pray, I think this is one of the most important things you can grab hold of.
just thank God for what he's doing. And you'll almost never run out of stuff to pray about. You can thank God for your family. You can thank God for your church. You can thank God for your ministry. You can thank God for your job. And as you begin to give thanks to God, it's almost like a bubbling fountain which begins to overflow out of you. As you give thanks for one thing, you give thanks for another thing. And we see that with Paul, isn't he? So often he's just, I give thanks. All the epistles, except for the Galatians. He says, I give thanks for this. I give thanks for that. I give thanks to that. I praise God for this. Because he's just so overwhelmed with what God is doing. But then secondly, notice the request he makes. In verse 9 he says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you." What's his prayer? His prayer is that he might come to the Romans and be able to serve them with the gospel. That he might carry out that which he has been called to do. You see, Paul has been called to carry the gospel, and he desires to bring it to them to benefit them. And so he prays in accordance with that. And this is a very important note for us. We don't ask for things willy-nilly, but we pray for that which we believe God would have us do, as we are informed by the Scriptures. The Scriptures lead us in what we should pray for. You see, we pray to God through Christ, and we are informed by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. You remember Jesus said, "If you ask for anything in my name, you will have it given to you." What does it mean to ask in the name of Christ? It means to ask in accordance with his will and purposes for you. And his will and purposes for you are revealed in him and in his word. So we pray. We pray with zeal. We pray fervently. We pray in accordance with the Scriptures that we might serve him and that we might serve his people. So Paul, having this foundation of praying to God through Christ and giving thanks and asking for that which God is calling him to do, lastly, see the zeal. See the zeal with which he prays. So he says, "God is my witness that I pray without ceasing, always in my prayers, that somehow, by God's will..." Do you hear the passion and fervor of that? Paul is not sitting there going, "You know, God, it would just be really nice if..." Yeah, amen. He's like Jacob wrestling with the angel, isn't he? Without ceasing. You know, could you imagine having the confidence in your prayer life to be able to say, "As God is my witness, I have been praying for you without ceasing about this issue." You know, someone comes to you and say, "Can you pray for my mum? She's a non-Christian, she's got cancer, and I'm worried she's going to die." And you say to them a month later, "I have been praying without ceasing." You can ask God. He will bear testimony to the truth of this fact that I have been praying for your mother. I could not say that. I tell people I will pray for them all the time. I could not say that with that level of confidence. But Paul is so practiced in prayer and is wrestling with his spirit. When he says "my spirit," he's talking about his inner person. It's not just an exterior Pharisaical practice. This whole person reality prayer is for the Apostle Paul. And so he labors with zeal and passion. How much of a rebuke this is for so many of us in our slothfulness in prayer, myself included. Paul prays with a fervent passion. He prays with right desires, and he prays with a proper foundation. And at the end of the day, this is the way we glorify God in prayer. This is the way we honor our Father in heaven. Because at the end, isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray? Jesus taught us
to pray for his glory and his will. For his glory and his will through Christ. Prayer, yes, is a challenging thing, but what a glorious privilege it is. Don't see it as a burden. See it as a joy. To be children of our Father in heaven and get to pray to him anytime we want. Let us learn from Paul, but most of all, let us learn from Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to pray. Jesus, would you teach us to pray as you taught your disciples to pray through your Spirit and through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me for another daily devotion. I will look forward to seeing you back here. Same place, same time tomorrow afternoon. Have a most blessed day. Good night.